Hello everyone and welcome to this session about ghosting the hardware. Maybe the title is a bit obscure to you. I will explain what it is a bit later on. So my name is Rémi Durafort. I'm a principal tech lead at Linaro, and I've been working on different open source projects for many years now. And I'm currently working on Lava, which is a test automation system that I will present. So Lava. So Lava stands for Linaro Automated Validation Architecture. So it's a test execution system, which means it allows for testing your software on real hardware, on real devices like Raspberry Pis, Dragon Boards, so physical devices. It allows to deploy your software, boot your software, and test it on real devices. It's used by multiple projects like MLCI, for example, that use mainly multiple Lava instances. We use that a lot also in Linaro for the LKFT project, Linux Kernel Functional Testing project that we are driving. We also use it for doing bootloader testing. So for example, you can test your U-boot version directly on your board, and Lava will allow to interact with U-boot and test it. We also do firmware testing with it. It currently supports 364 different device types, which is a lot of different device types. So if you want to test the software, your software, without Lava, so you will have a kernel, DTB, RAM disk, rootfs modules that you want to test. You will have a Raspberry Pi. So this is a pretty old Raspberry Pi 3 anyway. Doesn't really matter. You need a way to access the serial to interact with the board. So FTDI cable usually over USB. You need a way to power on and off the board. So you need some device that will allow to send a TCP request to a specific port with some commands, and it will power on the board, and another request will power off the board, so it can be made automatic. And usually we use TFTP and NFS for sharing the kernel DTB and root file system with the board, so you don't have to actually flash the board, because after some time you will actually destroy the SD card if you do that a bit too often. Then when you have all of this, if you want to test the board, you have to power on the board, so you send the right command to your power manager. You then connect to the serial, you interrupt your boot, you send some commands like DHCP, so the board gets an IP address, you load the kernel over TFTP, you load the RAM disk over TFTP, you set the console argument for the kernel, you then send the right boot arguments that are board specific. You watch the kernel booting, looking for some crashes maybe or warnings. Then you have the prompt, you log in, you run your test, you collect the results, and you shut down the board. That's tedious, not really funny, and you will have to do that for every release that you will have for your software. So that's where Lava comes into place. So instead of having to do that manually, we keep the board, we keep the power control, serial relay, and TFTP and NFS server, and we replace yourself by a program, which is a Lava worker. Sorry. So instead of typing commands manually one by one, you will explain in a YAML document to the Lava worker what you expect him to do. So you will explain that you have a kernel, a DTB, and a rootfs that you want to deploy using TFTP, and you want your rootfs to be available over NFS. And Lava will then know how to automatically interact with your board to send all the right commands that I explained in the previous slide automatically and in a reproducible fashion for you. And it can do that days and nights, including weekends for you. And this document that you write is what we call a job definition or job configuration. So obviously, you can have multiple DUTs, device under test, so Raspberry Pis, for example, in this case, per worker, and you can have multiple workers attached to your Lava instance, and they will all connect to the Lava server. It's classical server worker model. For example, in Linaro in Cambridge, we have a lab with hundreds of boards, and I know Collabora also has some kind of board farm like that. It has been made for a large board farm if you want to. Regarding the roles, so the server, it's a web UI API. It's what is visible to the user, and it usually does not have access to the boards. For example, at Linaro, all our Lava servers are in the cloud somewhere, while the boards are connected to the workers physically in a closed lab So the workers, they have direct control of the DUTs, the board, device under test, and they are not accessible to the users. The user will not have access to the board directly. They will not have access to the worker directly, only to the server. So the server will be responsible for storing the logs, the jobs, the results, do the scheduling, send notifications, have a nice UI, things like that. And on the other side, the worker are more responsible for the hardware. So they have to deploy resources, they have to power on and off the boards, they have to interact with the serials, look for crashes in the kernel, handle the board health and things like that. So this is the list of supported device types. Obviously, you cannot see it. It's way too small because there are way too many devices. But just to explain that we support from really tiny devices, IoT devices, up to Raspberry Pi form factor, and up to even large servers that you can test with Lava if you want to. And as we support multiple different kind of device type, we have to support different deploy methods, different boot methods. So for example, you can boot over, you can deploy with TFTP, NBD, Fastboot for all the Android boards, VExpress, etc., etc. For booting, you can use DFU, U-boot, PyOCD, Fastboot, etc., etc. There is a lot of different ones. And for the tests, you can have a POSIX shell interaction if it's available on the system that you have. You can have interactive tests. So for example, when you want to interact with the bootloader, it's not a POSIX shell, so you have to send commands and expect results. And we can also do multi-node test, which is a test in which you have you have more than one device that will be booting at the same time and that will be able to interact. So for example, you can have you can test your server on a physical hardware that will stream to multiple different clients. It's something that you can do in Lava. So today I will speak a bit more about also why we want to test Lava itself, because why do we want to test the CI system? The obvious reason is that it's just a piece of software, so it's buggy, so you have to test it to know what is working and what is not. And even more important is that when you're building a CI system, you have to ensure that the CI system is rock solid for two main reasons. If you have bugs in your CI, and if you have false positive, which means that you're reporting some like a bug on the software while it's not buggy, then your developer will just say, okay, I'm done with it, it's not working, I will not look at your CI system anymore. That's the first reason. The second is false negative, which is you're not reporting an error that happens in your CI. So you're running a test, it's failing, but the CI system says, hey, everything is okay, which means that you will say to the developer, I tested it, it's working, while in fact it's buggy. So you will you will release the software that has been tested, but it's still buggy. So you have to prove that your CI is reliable, otherwise it's just fully useless. So how are we going to test Lava itself? So we do have the classical hierarchy of tests. We obviously have static analysis. We do have unit tests that are running on every GitLab CI pipe merge request. We also do integration tests, and that's what I will present today, which is called MetaLava. And we also do federated testing and test on staging instances. So we do have some instances that we upgrade every day where we run actual workload and we check that it's still working the same way as before. But the main problem when you want to test Lava is that it's a combinatorial issue. As I said before, we support 364 different device types, roughly 16 deploy methods, roughly 26 boot methods, and 5 test methods. So if you do the combination, that's insane, the number of combinations that you have to test. Yes, I know that a lot of these combinations are just not going to work because not all devices support DFU or Fastboot and things like that, but still, it's really huge. So maybe you want to give me boards and money, I will be up for it, but obviously I don't think that's the case. So maybe we should consider faking the DUTs. So faking the hardware. So that's the goal of the MetaLava project. So the goal is to be able to test the full system. I want to test from the user point of view back to the user. So the user should be able to send jobs. It has to be scheduled, run on a fake DUT, send back results, and the user will pull the result from the user interaction. And I don't want to have any boards because I want that to be somewhere running in a CI/CD system. And it has to be cheap, obviously, and fast. So you have two ways you can do that if you want to fake devices. You can go for doing board emulation. You can use FVP or QEMU devices, for example, to emulate devices. The main problem is that it's CPU intensive, so it will be slow and expensive. The other way is to ghost the hardware. So if you go back at the lab architecture, I don't want to touch the user. That will be my testing system. I don't want to touch anything in the server and the worker because I want to keep my system intact. So the only thing I can change is what is on the left part, the board and the power control server and the FTP NFS servers. So what I have to do, I have to build a system that, I have to build a fake DUT that will feel like a DUT, look like a DUT, smell like a DUT, sounds like a DUT, and taste like a DUT. Because Lava should not see the difference between a real DUT and a fake DUT. But that's not enough, because I also have to check that what Lava will send, the interaction that Lava will have with the fake DUT is still valid. Because if I have a fake DUT that accepts anything, then Lava will do any stupid things, and it will still work while it's just wrong. So it has to also to check. The fake DUT also have to check that what Lava send is legit. So it has to check that Lava is still acting correctly. So we have to look at the interaction between Lava and the DUT. So as I said, there is three interactions. The power control. So by the way Lava is designed, it's just a command that Lava will run. So it can be any shell command that has to return one or zero, one if it's failing or zero passing. But from the DUT point of view, from the fake DUT point of view, the DUT should be able to check that the command has been called at the right time, so before booting, that Lava is still doing what it's supposed to do. Yeah, the serial relay, again, it's just a shell command that Lava will run, and that it will just interact with the input and output, STD in, STD out. So I need to build something that will feel like a DUT when you interact with it, with the serial. And the TFTP NFS servers, I will just use a normal TFTP NFS server, and I will just have to check from the fake DUT point of view that Lava has deployed the right binaries for me. So the next question is, where do I want to mock things? Let's take an example. I don't want to do this presentation, but I want to be in my bed, and I have something that will be in place of myself, so you don't see the difference. So I can build a robot that will be in my place and that will speak like me and explain the same things, interact with you the same way as I will do. That's one way to do it. I can also force you to have glasses that will inject in your vision an image of myself. That's two different ways to fake me, but from your point of view, it will be the same. You won't be able to notice the difference. For mocking, it's all the same. I have different ways I can mock. I can create a hardware that will interact with Lava the same way a real hardware will do, but without actually booting a kernel. I can do that, it's possible, to just have to fake the serial and it will work. But as I said before, I don't want to have any hardware, I just want software. So what I will do is I will have only software that will fake all the interaction with Lava. So it will fake the serial relay, for example. So we're going for a full software implementation. It's a project called Demesis. So when you run it, it has the same output as a normal board. You can interact with it, and you feel like you interactive with a real board. I will show you right after that. So you can send it commands, and it will react like a normal board will do. And when you do TFTP and NFS commands, it will actually load the TFTP and NFS command for you and check that the binary are present. I will just go for a really short demo. Okay, so I just have a run script, just a wrapper, not to type everything, because it's painful to type. For example, I want to... So my dummy system, my program that will fake a DUT, so it's a Python script, and I give it some commands that are inside a YAML file that I will explain right after. So if I start it, you will see, for the ones that are used to have U-boot booting and accessing to U-boot machine, it's what U-boot usually enter, and it actually waits for you to type enter, and then you have a shell in which you can type some commands, for example, DHCP, it will get a DHCP. This is all fake. I don't have any board attached to it. You see that. It's just a program that is faking a U-boot interaction, a board interaction. And then I can just ask it to boot. I'm adding quotes because I'm not booting anything. It's just faking it. For Lava point of view, it's actually booting something. You see it, the screen is a bit too small. You see that it looks like a board is booting, but it's just printing text. But that's enough, because that's filling all the requirements from the Lava point of view. And you see, it's just a program running. I can just, for example, do a login interaction if I want to. I want to check that Lava is able to log in automatically to send the right login parameters and password. I can create a program that will do that. Again, just doing the basic thing, booting. You see, there is a small delay when printing. It's on purpose to fake what a real board does, because a real board does not send all the characters in one row, because the serial takes some time to process, to transfer. So we fake that also. Now I have to send. If you see that if I'm not sending the right parameters, it would do a logging incorrect. If I'm sending the right one, it will log in as normal. Again, this is not doing anything. It's just faking, pretending to run a system. And then this is what usually what Lava is expecting when it runs tests. It's expecting some signals to have, and I can fake that also. If you look at what's inside, it's a bit too small. So inside the command that I'm sending, the argument for my program, it's just a set of commands that I'm asking. I'm asking my program to print the lines. That's the line that you've seen. Then it's printing the different lines and accept to be interrupted, like what U-boot does. Then it has a shell. This is a prompt with U-boot prompt. And it will loop forever, waiting for exactly this command, USB start, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for the fake DUT to work and to go to the next stage, Lava has to exactly send the right commands. And if it's not sending it, it will fail. So thanks to this list of commands that I'm expecting, I'm able to check that Lava will send exactly the same command from one version to another, because that's what a real board will expect. And at the same time, from the Lava point of view, it will have the output that it's expecting. And for example, here, Lava will, it's waiting for getting a TFTP instruction to load the VM Linux over TFTP. So I'm waiting for this exact command. And when I get it, it will actually download it. I have a small script that will download over TFTP, download the file, check that it's present. That's what I said. Lava, what it sends should be meaningful. So all the tools should be available where it should be. That's for the short demo. So that's what the Melta Lava project is doing. So we have a server, we have the workers that are working together, and instead of having a real board, I just have the dummy system. So it's actually running 28 different device types, including boards that I've never seen, because I just need the logs and the commands that it's expecting. I don't need the real board themselves. And it also allows you to test bootloader failures, for example. That's something that's difficult to reproduce in real life. You have to damage your board if you want to have some specific errors. The system, MetaLava and Domesis, they can reproduce the same error all the time because it's just a specific output that Lava will have to see. If you want to contribute to this, to have your board tested by Lava, so a fake board tested by Lava, please come to see me. I will be happy to add that to the system, and that will ensure that your board will still remain valid in the next Lava versions. Again, it's a fun thing to do system mocking, and just have to look at the interaction between the different systems. That's all. Do you have some questions before we go to the next presentation?